You're listening to Paranormal Portal on Revolver Podcasts. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show. I'm your host, Brent Thomas. We are now underway. The portal is in motion. Please keep your hands inside of the car at all times. Transdimensional portals have a tendency to reduce limbs to stumps. Just saying. All right, let's get started here because this is a big one. This one's coming out of Ohio. It says, all right. What? That's weird. Okay, are the haunting flashes of light from a vacant apartment wanting my attention? I'm looking for help with an experience that I had last Saturday night on July 21st, 2007. I live in Northeast Ohio, and I've been searching the internet for similar experiences when I stumbled onto several sites. My experience deals with flashes of a dim bluish light, similar to what a plasma static lightning ball would produce in flashes of a yellow or at times white light of varying brightness, shape, and position or location in the room. I was observing this from 11:30 p.m. till around 3 a.m. coming from a vacant apartment that sits facing mine. Not more than 50 feet from my patio door, I have a clear vision from here through the patio door and into the living room of this apartment. Plus the two bedrooms through their windows. It's vacant, so there aren't any blinds or curtains. And it's been vacant for about 2 weeks now, and this was the only time I'd seen anything like this happen over there and or anywhere before this. And from what I've seen that night, it has terrified me to look in that direction now. I don't think that I ever want to see something like that again. I'm in a wheelchair and often sit with my sliding glass door open, right there, looking out over my patio, and here lately devising a way to catch a mole that's been wreaking havoc with my flowers. Yeah, he runs around late at night just as he does during the day. I hate that mole. This last Saturday, with the time a little after 11:30 p.m., I noticed a yellow light about the size of a beach ball located just inside the patio door and off to the right corner of this vacant apartment. It only lasted about 2 seconds, so how strange is that, I thought. The apartment is totally empty, and there's nothing there to produce that light. So I started watching the place, and I thought someone must have broken into the apartment and had a flashlight. But that didn't fit because this light had form to it. It seemed to appear spherical. Less than a minute later, the back bedroom of this apartment, I notice a dim bluish light that appeared for a few seconds low and just off the floor, around or just outside the bedroom door in the hallway, and you could see a portion of it through the bedroom window. This was a bluish light that couldn't have come from any flashlight, I thought. And just then was a flash of bright yellowish light out of the living room next to where the intercom and buzzer for the building's front door was. It was a narrow vertical flash about 3 or 4 feet in length and a few feet off the floor. Immediately after that was a flash of a dimmer light a foot or two to the right of the last one. And it was small and appeared round, but was too fast to get a good look at it. And at this point, all I was thinking was, what the hell's going on? I shut my patio door and went to sit in the recliner to think about what I had just seen. Should I call the police and have them check out that apartment? Just what would I say about the lights and how crazy are they going to think I am? I thought about having the maintenance man from the complex page to look things over. Maybe there's something wrong with the electrical fuse box in the apartment causing electrical arcing and throwing sparks. And I tried thinking of any reasonable explanation for what I'd seen, and nothing really worked. So I didn't call anyone and decided to have another look. And back in my wheelchair, I opened the patio door. Sitting there, I wondered if there'd be any more lights. And just that fast, there was a flash in the living room. Over the next 10 to 15 minutes, there were a total of about 6 flashes that appeared in that room, and each would only last a second or two, and vary in size, brightness, and location. The whole time, I tried coming in with an explanation. The only thought I was left with was, once again, what the hell? I shut the door and returned to my recliner to watch some television, and I considered everything. I even questioned if this was all in my imagination. After about 20 minutes of this, I was left with only 2 possible explanations. One being that there was someone hiding in the hallway of this apartment with a flash or strobe light and a bag of tricks to reflect the light around the living room, or the place was haunted. Neither seemed reasonable to me, and I wanted to watch some more, but it was a bit chilly out this evening for being July, and it was around 58 degrees, and the shorts I was wearing weren't quite cutting it. So I changed into some jeans and returned to what was way more interesting than what was on TV. Sitting there, the lights continued to flash every minute or two, and I was trying to figure out how someone hiding in the hallway could be doing this. It seemed the most plausible explanation considering the other, and then a flash of light, bluish light, coming from the bedroom door hallway, as in the first series, caught my attention. I was thinking this guy had to have not only a strobe or flash unit, but also a plasma globe and some sorts to produce that soft bluish light. I'm now thinking, okay, this theory just isn't plausible. It's got to be M haunting the place. I don't know what M is. But just then was the brightest flash of light coming from the living room. A chill ran down my spine, through my body, and my neighbors could probably have heard me say right then, "What?" Well, you probably know what I said. The bright flash of light was the one located over by the intercom buzzer and was a vertical shape. It will be this one that becomes the most active, along with the smaller flashes that appear just to the right of it. The bluish light that seems to come from the hallway just outside the bedroom door became more active, but by the time you noticed that light back there, it'd be gone. A quick flash, or perhaps it would run out of sight up the hall, and then it would appear, and there wouldn't be any other flashes of light out in the living room area. During the 40, 45, or 50 minutes that I sat there in total amazement of all this, there might have been only a minute or two in between flashes or a series of lights, and it was during these breaks that I continuously started considering that this could be M haunting the apartment. Well, I don't understand what this initial M means. I might be missing something really obvious. I'm sorry if that's the case. But it almost seemed to me that each time I was thinking of M doing this, then the next flashes of light would be the vertical shape by the intercom, followed by the smaller one to its side, the intercom lights. At this time, I'm starting to be concerned that not only this was M and that she was wanting my attention, but she might be responding to my thoughts. I haven't had the time to realize how frightening a concept this was at the time, so I wanted to put it to the test. I started thinking over and over, if this is M causing these lights, and you can hear my thoughts, show me by lighting up the whole room with one big flash of light. All I've seen tonight were isolated flashes in one place or another, and if you can hear me, you light up that whole room. I just kept running through these thoughts through my mind for the next 3 or 4 minutes and then waited. And the intercom lights slowly flashed once each, a dim yellow light that was it. Okay, well, I don't know what that might have meant, but I thought she might be too tired or not have enough energy to do what I was asking. But what do I know? This is all nothing but a wild guess. And I came back in and shut the sliding glass door and blinds to retreat to my recliner. As all guys sitting in a recliner late at night watching TV, I dozed off at some point, and I have no idea how long, but I woke up a few minutes before 3 a.m. and decided that it was time for bed. I gathered up my cell phone and whatever else I needed to take with me and got into my wheelchair, but I just had to take one more look at the vacant apartment across the lawn. I figured that if someone had been there messing around, that they would have been long gone by this time. And I didn't see any red flashing lights from fire engines, so the place didn't burn down from some electrical arcing or sparks from something. I opened the blinds and door and sat there for a few minutes and then sort of jokingly asked if Em was still around. A few seconds go by and the intercom lights dimly flash one each. Well, that's really something, I thought, and I was really tired and that's all the thought I could muster at the time, other than I need to go to bed now and get some sleep. Just then, there was a flash of light coming from the kitchen or hallway of this apartment that lit up the whole living room area for a fraction of a second. I was just floored. Was this the answer I was looking for? I couldn't do anything but close the door, lock it, and go to bed, where I didn't sleep one bit. Nothing happened Sunday night, and I began to question my whole experience from the night before, and I called the rental office here on Monday and reported seeing some lights flashing and perhaps something sparkling or electrical arcing happening in that apartment Saturday night, and suggested that someone might have been in there. The property manager and the maintenance guy went in to check in the place that afternoon, and after seeing me on my patio, they walked over to tell me they didn't find anything wrong. Well, they were in there. They closed the vertical blinds for the patio door. I started talking, and I was being a little more specific with what I had seen, with the blue light back in the bathroom door and the different flashes out in the living room, and I come to find out that the mother and young son that was living there for the last 7 months or so before suddenly moving out 2 weeks back complained to the maintenance guy about a blue light that stayed close to the floor in the hallway that would have had a crackling noise, and then another yellow lights that would flash around the kitchen and living room. She complained about this a few times to him, but he never found anything wrong in the apartment. He went on to say how she said that her and her son would have to sit together out on the sofa the whole night with all the lights because she was afraid of what might happen. So now I'm thinking back to when they lived there, and even though they had blinds on the windows, you could see that they always left the televisions on all night long in each of the bedrooms. Then there were these nights when every light in the apartment stayed on all night as well. She worked and both would get up, leave early, and then return around 5 or so, and the boy was never allowed to play with the other kids. They always kept for themselves and didn't talk to anyone. As the three of us talked that Monday, it became somewhat obvious to the property manager that with the two independent accounts of this activity and the story of M, we told him, the place might just be haunted. The manager was somewhat new to the property, and the maintenance guy doesn't believe in that stuff, even though, as the property manager pointed out to him, that there were now these two independent sources reporting the same activity. The manager asked me to keep my eyes open, and wouldn't it be great if you could record it next time, and I told him that they'd have to open the blinds back up from the patio door and I'd see what happens. And I was told they'd open the blinds the next day. It all was painfully obvious to me what was going on here. Well, it was one of two things. Either the maintenance guy was lying about what the woman told him, and he was the one in the apartment that night with the lights and bag of tricks, or it really was M haunting the place. I guess that I should tell you about M now. Thanks, yeah. Just a little late, but okay. She was living in that apartment this time last year, and was a resident for several years prior. I knew her, and we weren't what you would call close friends, but we would sit on the patio and talk once in a while and always waved hello. Sometime in August of last year, she fell from a ladder or down some steps and broke her ankle, and 2 days after that, she collapsed in the hallway of her apartment and died there. Her body wasn't discovered for 6 days after that. She was no more than 42 years old at the time, and she died of a blood clot or internal bleeding resulting from the fall, from what we heard. The blinds weren't opened up in that apartment until Thursday afternoon, and as I finish typing this, it's Saturday afternoon, 1 week later. To be honest, I haven't looked towards that apartment all week, and I'm afraid that it's her, and she's trying to get my attention. I think she's confused about what happened and hasn't moved on to wherever one needs to go when you die. The thing that's most disturbing to me is that she might hear my thoughts. I'm totally freaked out about that possibility. I'm not looking forward to seeing it again, but I need to find out what the hell is going on. Maybe tonight. And there's more notes in here. So he said, I watched the vacant apartment with my video camera for 5 nights, but the flashing lights never reoccurred. The night before the apartment was to be reoccupied, I went over to the patio door of the apartment with my camera and took some pictures of the location that I had seen the lights in. I didn't see anything while I was there doing this, but something appears in the photos, and there's serious glare from the flash reflecting off the glass door, but you can still see these things. He says, when I zoomed in these swirls, you can see a group of 3 lights swirling around in one bunch and another individual swirl of light above the group and yet another individual swirl to the right of the group. What is this? Now, the next ones are the kitchen. The next photo was to the left side of the living room area. In my story, I referred to a single flash of light that illuminated the whole living room that seemed to come from the kitchen hallway area. This photo is that area. Remember, M died in the hallway, and again, you have to ignore the glare from the flash and the reflection of some windows from the building and the glass, and if you look just above where the reflection of the windows, there's something else in the room. I think there might be something to it. So that was a really long one, but I think it was a really good story. I really do. I like that one. Let's get to the next one. It's from Massachusetts, ladies and gentlemen, and this one has to do with Ouija boards, of course. Now, I don't feel like I need to go into details about the Ouija board and my reflections on them, but if you watch the show, you're probably well aware of it. If you check out any of the archives on YouTube, we've done the Ouija board several times, and you'll see that, you know, I've shared my feelings on that. Again, it's not an evil thing in and of itself, but evil things may look for people using Ouija boards because they are, again, a blind channel. So, Massachusetts. When I was younger, I used to live in a different country, and I moved to the U.S. and to live with my father. And when I was 5, my sister and I were instantly pulled into the world of supernatural and certainly were what you would call obsessed. When I look back on it now, I can trace our obsession to the constant drool of ghost stories coming out of my uncle's mouth at one time, or at that time, rather. Our grandpa was also very intent on scaring us to death. Naturally, we honored what they told us. After a while, we tired of ghost stories and convinced ourselves that there was a presence in our rented apartment. Of course, there was nothing there at the time. We grew obsessed with trying to talk to the spirit and tried all forms of communication with this thing, and we set up sticky notes with questions about the ghost, and we even attempted a séance at one time or another, and we used our mom's tape recorder to try to capture any sounds in our room, and nothing at all came out of these tests. After a while, we got tired of ghost hunting and, as children, focused on other things in our lives. During the last few months that I lived in that apartment, my parents bought a house, and so we were moving. Strange things started happening, and I can't quite place what was happening, but during those months, I slept a lot less, ate less, and experienced nightmares like I never would have imagined. My parents have attributed this to the anxiety of leaving a place that you live for so long, but somehow I doubt it. I felt something in that house, and of course, it was like nothing I had ever felt before. My cat acted strange also, and so I know that it was something slightly more worrisome than moving anxiety. I left something there. In all my years of poking into whatever other world I believed was there, I left it in that house, and maybe, just maybe, a part of it followed me, rather. This is a true story and not something I made up. I'm not really sure what happened. I will tell you this, and again, ladies and gentlemen, this is the other side of being overly enthusiastic about the paranormal and stuff. And I'm incredibly enthusiastic about it. I just really have been researching this for years and years and years, and I never tire of the subject. I never tire of the talk and of talking about it or sharing ideas or hearing people's ideas about it. I think it's just amazing. But now I do believe, again, and I've stated this several times, that we are creator beings. We create our experience. So in the first part, when she first came to the U.S., they were absolutely amazed and really drawn into the whole paranormal. And they were just sure there was something there. And there wasn't. I'm sure it was the exuberance of young minds and stuff. But again, if you believe in something, do you create something? And once you may at some point change your mind and just kind of focus on other things, as the person in the story said, but does that energy continue to develop and grow with its own sentience then? Does it become something because you put all of that energy and that intent and that emotion into, you know, creating this experience and this communication? So is it possible this person created that? Now, it said the story was about a Ouija board it says Ouija board seances, but, I guess they probably, by leaving those sticky notes and doing EVP sessions, those are a rudimentary form of seance, or a very specific form of seance, I guess I should say. But the other thing is that when people are looking, you know, there's an old belief in a lot of esoteric circles, and it's called magnetism. And the same philosophies are used a lot in The Secret. If you ever look up The Secret, it's a form of that esoteric idea of magnetism, that you magnetize yourself for things to come to you. And that works not only on positive thinking and manifesting wealth and manifesting a better life, but it works on things like entities and things that are out there. If they're looking and you are magnetizing yourself for them, in other words, you are creating a charge of attraction, well, they can read that like a book or like a street sign, and they may find you. So again, be careful about what you send out. Be careful about what you manifest in your life. And maybe not all of it is people created, but if you create magnetism for something in your life, you have to be prepared to receive it. So this person was magnetized over a period of years for this paranormal, and boom, suddenly they're having paranormal experiences. Well, perhaps there was nothing in the first area to find them, but when they moved again, that magnetism was still there. And so something will find you, and that's why I always say don't challenge the universe, because the universe will answer, you know. Don't taunt, don't talk about how big and amazing you are, because the universe is going to make sure that you're humbled. I mean, it's just the way it works. So when you magnetize yourself for something, you are going to receive it. So that's, it's kind of, we all do it whether we know it or not. I mean, it's not something that you really have to try hard for. You're magnetizing yourself. If you are in a really down period, you are magnetizing yourself to a lot of poor things to happen to you. If you are dealing with depression, you are going to magnetize that grief and draw more grief to you. Therefore, I really believe that people can create their happiness in the same way.
Anthropology.
Huh. Okay, anthropology, you came through on the ghost box. anthropomorphic, perhaps. I don't know how that ties in, but thanks for weighing in. But we can create our lives, and part of that is due to magnetism. The charge you send out is what the universe will send back, you know. So, however that works, it's not, it's not like true magnets where it's, you know, opposite charges. It's truly you resonate yourself to a charge, and that's what the universe will send. So if you're positive, the universe is going to like send you negative, like a magnet. So anyway, just some food for thoughts. Excuse me. I think it's powerful stuff though, and take it or leave it, discard it if it doesn't fit, but you know, it is one of my truths, and I'm sharing it with you. Hey guys, Brent Thomas here of the Paranormal Portal Podcast. We just wanted to take a moment to introduce you to the Paranormal Portal store. We've got t-shirts, hoodies, leggings, stickers, mugs, you name it, you might find it over there. So head on over to teespring.com/stores/paranormal-portal, and you too can help fund the Paranormal Portal Podcast. Thank you so much for all that you do, and thank you for being a part of our Paranormal Portal family. So let's get to the next one here, and this is from California. Working until 10 at night, I often wasn't home until about 11 o'clock. On a particular night, I'd been shopping after work and found a glass cutting board with a beautifully painted rooster on it. Just my neighbor Patty's style, and I wanted her to be surprised in the morning to find it on her porch. And we lived in Orangevale, California, and it was a country town outside of Sacramento, and there were no porch lights between my home and hers. The thing I feared walking to her place was some drunk or spraining my ankle in a pothole. And the country was safer than most parts of the city, and it was more beautiful, too. There were hawks, a few coyotes, and huge oaks that were hundreds of years old, and this had occasionally led me to wonder, what was this land was like when it belonged to the Native Americans? Before the Spanish and before the U.S. arrived. And that night, fearing an addict, I let my baby dog out to walk with me, and her name was Jellybean. That's cute. She's a protective German shepherd, a good companion and protector. About 10 feet from the porch, I heard a man say, "Shonetta," over my left shoulder. He sounded like a mere yard away from me, and my adrenaline had started pumping, and I was getting goosebumps. My dog was sniffing some flowers and seemed to be ignoring the whole situation. I slowly turned to meet this person, my lungs filled with air, ready to scream and wake everyone if I had to, and no one was there. My dog was still enjoying the garden. I'm a logical person, and I tried to figure out where the voice had come from, and it was a voice that had no organic source but had a crystal clear tone. I had no idea what this word meant. Do you? Shonetta? Wasn't it Shonetta? Huh. Yeah, Shonetta. Sounds like a name to me. Deep in my bones, I felt like I had just intruded on someone, and this person was upset at me. And I quickly ran to the porch and tossed my gift there and called to Jellybean, and we ran home. I shut the door and every window to keep the night breezes out, and I knew it was a ghost. My dog came over to me, and I petted her for a long, long time, and the next morning, I left early to school and researched what that word meant. I just couldn't find any definition, and that is when everything I loved began to get destroyed, piece by piece, but all within 3 months of that night. First, I was made to leave my well-paying job Second, my beloved and up to that point healthy dog got very sick. The vet said nothing could be done for her. 3 weeks later, she died of a stomach tumor. Third, my car's transmission blew up. School was 30 miles away, and I had to drop out. And lastly, my beloved's favorite aunt, Honey Joe, called me saying the doctors gave her only 2 weeks to live. She was a fit and healthy, non-smoking 74-year-old woman, and she had lung cancer. Honey Joe, in many ways, had been closer to me than my own parents, and I went to visit her, and she passed on. All of these things happened concurrently while excruciating. They were excruciating, and this was more than coincidence. This strange voice and then terrible occurrences. Was the voice a Native American victim of long ago genocide taking revenge? I guess I don't need to ask that. I feel the answer is yes. And if you know what Shonetta means, please let me know. This is a mystery, so very important to me. Huh. And again, this story is from 2007, so I don't know if this person ever got their answers, but I see that some people... I'm just reading what some of this... Oh, it says... Somebody says Shawnee comes from the Algonquin word Shawanagi, meaning southerner. And however, this referred to the original location in the Ohio Valley relative to the other Great Lakes Algonquin rather than a homeland in the American Southwest. Shawnee usually preferred to call themselves Shawano, sometimes given as Shawanoe or Shawanese, and South Carolina colonists knew them as the Savannah or the Savannuka. Other names, blah, blah, blah. So, but that's a different region entirely. What I know of something close to Shawnetta, Shawnee. Okay, another person saying Shawnee. I don't know. It doesn't look like anybody had any words or any ideas. Yeah, someone else says it's a name. That's what came to me, but it sounds like a name. Anyway, I hope that person has had things come together for them. That's horribly tragic. And now, do I think that they're all interrelated? Not necessarily. I know it's easy to tie those two together, and I can understand the desire to do that, but sometimes life just goes to hell, and it's not hard to understand, but I guess in my heart of hearts, I believe it's all to bring us to a place of understanding that we may need. We may be just in a period of transition and all of those things correlated. Maybe the fact that this person was in a period of transition when their life was going to change is why they heard the word in the first place. I don't believe it was actually an audible word. I think it was probably something more telepathic, and that's why there was no reaction from the dog. But, you know, I don't know. I do know that there are negative things out there that can attack pets and have attacked pets and will attack many parts of a person's life. And that actually does sound more demonic in many ways, but I'm always hesitant to use that word because I think it's so overused anyway. But there are times when there are truly demonic presences. And, you know, as I've said, and as many people have said, a truly demonic presence wants your world to burn. They just want everything about you to be destroyed. They just want to destroy you. And so could it be? Yeah, it could. I hope for this person's sake that wasn't the case. But again, this is just a snapshot into their world. This is just a little quick, you know, micro picture of their experience. And to draw any real conclusions from it is really tough. But, my heart goes out to that person for sure. All right, the next one comes from Illinois. I know somebody from Illinois. And I always give them crap. I always go, it's Illinois. So, anyway, if it's silent, why'd they put it in there in the first place? Sorry. Anyway, let's go to Illinois and see what's going on. This happened to me. Happened to one of my friends. She has been told many stories about spirits roaming her house, but this one sounded really interesting for me. One night she told me that she was by herself in the apartment and was using the computer, and later that night she got tired and went to bed. turned off the lights, and she had this weird feeling that there was a presence in her room and got scared because she didn't know if it was evil or not. She went under her covers and she stayed there. See, the covers are the true barrier against the paranormal, ladies and gentlemen. Excuse me. Let's see. She heard someone in the kitchen. Her room is right next to the kitchen, and she knew it wasn't her parents because they were out. She knew that it was something else. She heard it walking, and it stopped. The spirit was in her room. She could feel it, but was it evil? She was still under the covers, but for some reason she remembered what I had told her, and I said, I know this is easy to say but hard to do, but you have to be brave when something happens like that. Don't let it scare you. You're the boss. Tell it that you want it to leave. Sometimes they don't know if they're scaring you, and if you're a boss, face them. It's the right thing to do, and I know it would be hard to do if I was under the same situation, but I'd still try. So she told herself, I'm going to do this. I can do this. And she took the cover off her face and noticed that her room was empty. Nobody was there except her. But she can still feel the presence. And she said, if somebody's here, move the plastic bag that's right next to me. But it didn't. And she knew that the spirit was right there. She talked to it, but it never responded. She got really scared and went to her parents' room. And the next morning, she told her mom that something was in there and didn't leave her alone. So they did some investigating and went downstairs and told the owners of the house, told the owners of the house if someone passed away upstairs, and they said yes. Her name was Rosa. She didn't speak any English, only Spanish. And this is the reason why Rosa didn't cooperate with my friend, because she didn't understand what my friend was saying. So at night, my friend went to sleep, but woke up suddenly knowing that Rosa was in her room, and she finally told her in Spanish, if you're Rosa, move that bag. She obeyed her, and it moved, and my friend got really scared because it was her first time to see a spirit obeying her and moving things, and she said, why are you here? You passed away. Please leave me alone because you're scaring me. You don't belong here. The next morning, my friend's room was blessed, and Rosa never bothered her again. I'm not so sure about that whole language thing, right? So language is a function of, our physical presence in this world. And it's a function of interpreting audible sounds into, a message or information. Now, I think that in terms of a spirit, in terms of that energy, they don't have that physical need. I mean, I think they understand the energy of thought. They understand they would be completely telepathic. So they don't need things to be broken into another language. I don't think, and this is just a theory, I can't know for sure, but language is, again, just a function of making sounds and having someone understand those sounds. But all language is born first as a thought. And our thoughts radiate outside of us. I mean, they go as far as the universe, as far as I believe. I mean, there's no end to us and what we affect. So I think that spirits don't really need language, but perhaps if this Rosa was stuck and hadn't moved on, and maybe she wasn't open to that entire energetic experience. Maybe she was locked in her own experience and still was resonating on a very physical way, even though she was only spirit. And I don't mean only in a dismissive way, but you know what I mean. So I don't know. That's a weird one. So yeah, I think that there's something to that their language isn't necessary for spirits. They can hear your thoughts. Our thoughts are a language. We just are used to hearing our thoughts in our physical language, but they don't exist in language in our head. They exist as emotion and intention and, all of that. So they exist energetically, but we always think in words because it's what we've trained to do. All right, so let's move along. The last one tonight. Yeah, this has gone long. So almost it'll be an hour by the time I'm done. All right. Comes from Maryland. I don't remember how old I was exactly when I first felt not alone in the basement of my parents' house. I was probably in the 10-11 range when I would get the feeling that I wasn't alone. And every day I would come home from school and watch Nickelodeon on our basic cable television in the basement. And the house was built in the mid-80s, so it wasn't old, Victorian, or even creepy at all. It was just, you know, a house. And I would generally watch TV and play with my Legos or draw in my sketchbook or something to keep myself occupied. And even though I started getting the feeling that I wasn't alone down in the basement, and sometimes I would even see something out of my peripheral vision going down the hall to my right. I'd like to point out that I wasn't watching anything on TV that would be weirding me out or make my mind play tricks on me. It was usually watching Doug or Darkwing Duck or some other ridiculous awesome program, and when I would just see something jet through the hallway, and I'd turn my head, of course, but nothing was there. Honestly, I wasn't really all that weirded out by it because I had a lot of imagination, so I just blamed it on that. And not to say I didn't believe in ghosts. My favorite movie in the world was and still is Ghostbusters, and I've always loved the occult because of it. Nice. Ghostbusters is a gateway drug for the occult. This is where the story finally got me. One day, I was in the upstairs bathroom brushing my teeth or sneaking a delicious Flintstone vitamin or something when I felt a hand touch my shoulder. I looked up in the mirror because I was facing that direction, and I saw a figure behind me. Looked like a guy, but I wasn't checking for chest hair, so I could be wrong. And naturally, I fled from the scene, uttering obscenities at the world as I burst out the front door and into the road outside. I don't remember how long I stayed there outside before I finally went spelunking back into my home, but I would venture a guess that it was a while. On another note, my mother, who is really into ghost stories and hauntings, claimed that she was home one day while I was at school and heard the door open and close downstairs, and she assumed I was home early from school and yelled my name down over the banister towards the bottom of the stairs, and nobody answered. Especially not me, because I was at school. Mom then called my sister's name, and again, no answer, and at this point she went downstairs but didn't find anything. No matter what happened there, Mom believes that a ghost was up to shenanigans in our house. Because we're adventurous and maybe mildly stupid, Mom and I decided to take the ghost thing kind of seriously and looked into the housing development's history, and we found two things. The housing development was more or less brand new, and the development was built over an old farmland, and as it turns out, about 2 quarts away, there used to be a cemetery for the farmer's family. Our neighbors and friends lived in that court and also claimed they'd hear the basement rocking chair in their homes make noises in the night. Well, that's all I got. It's true, and it happened back when I was a kid. I'm 26 years old now, and it wasn't evil or anything, just an experience or two. Love and peace and bacon grease. I like this guy. He's pretty humorous. He's got a good spirit. There you got. That's the thing. I don't like them operating doors, though. I don't like things opening doors. That, to me, feels like, you know, and it's probably just an auditory hallucination that they induce, but still, it's creepy. You know, you don't want to think that something can open and close your doors at will. I mean, you know, that's just rotten. So, anyway, that's going to wrap up our show for tonight. Thank you guys so much for being here and being a part of every episode. You guys are nothing but amazing to me, and I love you all so much. You are truly incredible people, and I am honored that you tune in every time to hear what I got to say. But take care of each other. Be good. Be kind. Be nice. Help each other out. Find the magic in every day, and try to have some laughter every day. If you want to keep up with what's going on with the show, I'm always going to post it on Facebook. So make sure that you're following us on Facebook, facebook.com/paranormalportalradio. All right, guys, have a wonderful night. Everybody take care and sweet dreams.
betting is sweeping across the country faster than the coronavirus, and Wagering Week is your antidote. I'm Tom Barton, and I'm a veteran sports analyst and respected sports handicapper who helped build ESPN's brand. I've been recognized and awarded by Pro Football Weekly and Gaming Today magazine as the honest handicapper. Let the other guys give you the same old boring sports talk with the same tired storylines. We'll give it to you straight here every Friday on Wagering Week. Don't gamble with other podcasts. Let Sports Garden Network's Wagering Week help your bottom line.